Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey, everybody, it's Coach Chris here, and I am very excited. We've got an unbelievable episode of the Play in Faith podcast today. I have got the head coach of the Fairfield Falcons, Mr. Corey Stoner, here, and I think you guys are going to love some of his perspectives and some ideas. Very excited to have Corey on here. How's it going today, Coach?
I'm doing well. It's an honor to be here. I'm excited to be a part of this process. First time doing like a podcast, so you know, it's like that nervous energy back when the playing days were, though, but I'm excited to be here with you.
That's funny. I spend a lot of time on stage, and I joke with audiences that it is a lot like walking out like that pregame tunnel, or like that's the part I miss the most, to be honest.
Yeah, it draws out that competitive juices to you. I mean, I still get that every Friday night, and you get it in events like this and stuff, but that's as close as we're going to get to sports at this point.
I know. It is the best. So obviously right now you are in the midst of football season. You guys got a big one this weekend. So I know you were over at Fairfield. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Yeah, so I'm here at Fairfield High School. I'm a teacher by day. I teach world history to freshmen and sophomores. And then I've got a couple classes with U.S. history where I get some of the upper kids and the juniors and seniors. And then at night kind of transform into the football coach. And those overlap, as you can imagine, quite a bit. But honored to be here, honored to be a part of this community, moved my family over here as well. And so they're in the schools. And we just love everything that Fairfield has to offer for us.
Yeah, and I know they are very thrilled to have you, too. We hear nothing but glowing reviews all around town. And what a cool opportunity, because not only do you get to pour into these athletes on the football field, but I imagine a lot of them overlap into the classroom. Is it ever weird having a couple of your players in the classroom? Because you're mild-mannered teacher by day, but they, you know, we're not on the gridiron.
I love it. You know, it gives me, like, I try to be genuine and true, you know, regardless of whether I'm teaching, coaching, or out in public, you know, with my family. And so I love having the football kids in class so they can see that dynamic as well. And hopefully they see the consistency of me as a person. It's not just a switch that I hit to go out to the football field. It's kind of who I am. And so I love seeing them. Plus you get to keep tabs on the grades a little bit.
Yes, sir. I know my older daughter, she's a little younger, not quite high school yet, but she has a couple of her coaches as teachers, and it's always her favorite class, right? She definitely behaves there because she doesn't want to get a bad grade or have to run.
It's amazing that connection there, you know, a lot of times that's the case.
Indeed. So obviously you've been at Fairfield now, this is second year. That's what I thought. Okay, second year at Fairfield, but you've been coaching high school football for quite a while. So you started over at Jimtown, and for those of you who are more of a national audience, that's more up towards South Bend, and you guys built one heck of a program up there. So tell me a little bit about your time up at Jimtown.
Yeah, so blessed by my time there, spent 12 years with the Jimmies and Bago, and being there, you know, football is day and night. It's life there. It's entangled in all parts of the community, and got to be mentored under some great coaches while I was at Jimtown. Obviously, you have the legendary Bill Sharp, who won all the state championships there and really built that program for what it is. But also got to work directly under Coach Campbell, who obviously mentored me in a great way and kind of led me into this direction that I didn't even know that I wanted to go. And so I owe a lot to him. And I still remember the day that we were driving down to a state meeting, and he told me he was going to step down at the end of the year. And, you know, that conversation I never thought was going to transpired. And I'm incredibly thankful to him and still talk to him on a daily basis. He sends me a Bible verse still every day, even though he's down in Noblesville. He's always checking in on me. So
that's awesome.
Incredibly blessed by his leadership and saw how he ran his program. And then there's others like Ned Cook. I can't tell you enough about Ned Cook. You got to know Ned to appreciate the stories, but just a brilliant football coach and an even better person, and really showed me the love for the game and the passion and how they can connect with everyday life as well, and teaching life through the game of football. And just incredibly blessed by my time there. I have nothing but good things to say about Jimtown and the community, and still cherish a lot of those relationships that were built over the course of 12 years there.
Oh, sure. And so obviously you're still a young man. So you started coaching
Thank
young,
you.
I would assume at Jimtown, right? I mean, so you've been coaching at a pretty young age over there at Jimtown. So do you mind me asking, how old were you when you took over the program? Because that is a, like you said, it's a pretty, they take it pretty serious up there. That's a hefty
Yeah,
responsibility.
I was 29 when I got
That's what I
hired. My
thought.
first game, I was 30. I just had a birthday in between there. So yeah, I was young and dumb. And when I started, teaching and coaching at 21, and I had no idea that, football head coaching was what I wanted to do. My dream was to be a baseball coach and to build a baseball program. I went to college for baseball, but
Wow.
my love for the game of football just returned so quickly. And I think Jimtown and people like Nick Cook had a big part in that revitalizing of that spirit in me.
Yeah. So obviously you guys have had a ton of success there. You're building some great things at Fairfield. You guys are building some success quickly. And I think all coaches that I'm just crazy blessed. I get to talk to high school coaches, college coaches, athletic directors, professional athletes, people all over the world. And I think almost every coach has told me, hey, look, at the end of the day, yeah, I want to win. I want to do my job, but it's really about the kids. It's about the athletes that we get to coach. And obviously you've been blessed to coach some pretty incredible young men on and off the field. But I know a couple in particular, we spoke about that were able to take that football success to the next level and even play at some Ivy League schools, which is an unbelievable accomplishment. So a lot of our audience, just to give you context, are parents and they are youth coaches. So what was it like kind of shepherding careers of people that were on that kind of trajectory?
Yeah, so I've been fortunate to coach a couple kids in the Ivy League. I have a senior right now. I still say I. It's like we have a senior now at
Oh, the same way.
Cromwell.
If a kid plays for me in third grade, they're mine until they're an adult.
I still talk to him, John Tu Reed. And I think he really opened the door for the second kid to go Ivy League, which was Tayshire Williams, who's at Dartmouth. And I think it's kind of like breaking through the ice for us as a program to have John to go to Cornell and get looks from all of the MACs around here and even some of the Big Tens coming around and talking to him. I guess,
Wow.
I'd love to be optimistic, but honestly, getting that side, when you start to get to that level with recruiting, you see some of the darker side of it too, to be honest. And it became a little bit, it seemed like the higher the schools that came in, it became a little bit more of a business transaction rather than a
Sure.
personal transaction, which was kind of unfortunate to see. But from the positive standpoint, it was awesome getting to work with the kids through that and for them to also see that and understand, maybe they have the stigma and they have the title of being X school that's in the Big Ten or whatever. But is that the type of relationship you want for the next 4 years? As you make that transition and getting them to kind of understand the genuineness of the situation and being able to read the emotions and getting past kind of all the hoopla of it. Like, do you see yourself bonding with that coach, or do you see yourself bonding with that coaching staff and program that they're building? And it was exciting to be a part of those conversations and to help a young person make hopefully the right decision. That's a big decision,
That
when
is a
you
big
decide
decision.
you're gonna go off to Cornell and you're gonna go that far away from home and you're gonna do it,
And you're far more than a football player at an Ivy League school. I mean, this is not a million-dollar NIL deal just to break up some passes or score some touchdowns. You are a student first, you're a student second, and then we're going to play some football too.
Yeah, and then you happen to do some football in the evenings
Right, but
and
you still have to do it at an incredible, excellent level and a lot of
Your
hour. That's
NIL
amazing.
is your degree that you walk away with at the end of the 4 years,
It's a good deal
and
still.
getting those kids to understand that, like, they were two great kids, and so they knew
Yeah.
that. And John Tu here is getting ready to wrap up and will graduate in the spring, and then he's going to try and get that fifth year of eligibility somewhere else, but he's going to walk away
Awesome.
with an Ivy League degree, which is just unparalleled.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. So as they're going through the recruiting process, like you mentioned, so obviously they landed on Ivy League schools, which is, forget football, right? I mean, yeah, you have a degree from Cornell, you're going to be just fine, right? You're going to have a wonderful, amazing life. But obviously, you said there are some other offers as well. So as you are balancing some of that, are we picking a school for football, or are we picking a school for a blend of football and academics? Or, what are some other key things? And I guess I should back up a little bit. At that level, obviously people are finding you. If you're playing at a even a low D1 level, the recruits are coming. For the average person listening, they might be doing a little bit more proactive marketing of, I want to continue my career. Let me find a great D3, D2, NAIA program that's a good fit. So what were some of the conversations with the students like as they try to make that decision? Because for most families, that is very overwhelming.
Yeah, and when you're playing at that level, what doesn't matter what school you end up at, it becomes a little bit more like a profession. It becomes a little bit more like a job. In high school, it's fun. You got your Friday nights. In college, they're gonna try and thin the herd as soon as you get there. They're gonna try and thin the herd from the guy that wants to be there because of the idea of playing in college versus the guy who absolutely loves the game and loves this opportunity. They're going to find that out pretty quickly. And so, number one, is it right in your heart? Is this what you want to do? Not what mom and dad want to do, not what your coach wants you to do, or what you think you should do. Is this what you want for yourself moving forward? And then, like, challenging yourself to find a program that's going to bring the best out in you. I mean, that's why we're doing this sort of thing, or you think most people are doing this sort of thing, is to maximize the time that they have. And so, what
Sure.
program is going to do that for you? What coach do you feel like is going to help move you forward? If you go into college and leave college at the same level, is that truly what you want, with that process? And so I'm curious. I would love to get all of the kids that I've sent to college or been a part of going to college with, I would love to get them in a room and just evaluate their whole process. I would love to hear the kid that went to Ivy versus the kid that went to DePaul. And
Sure.
DePaul is a winning program and has had tradition. And, how do they value those experiences? I would just love to lead that panel. So if you could make that happen, I would love to be a part of it.
Coach, that sounds like a good idea. So one of the things that is our mission, and I never like to soft sell during the show, but my goal is to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these conversations. So obviously, the mentoring that we're building is, kind of the business side. But to me, the real joy and like the fun in this is that I'm just meeting so many incredible people across so many different walks of sport, and everyone's got a slightly different journey. And I think it was phrased to me really well by an athletic director I talked to. So but this episode will probably come out afterwards. Talked with Chad Briscoe over at Grace and said, it's really about running your own race and that there's a right fit for you, not just the right fit, right? Where a lot of these kids are, it is pushed, right? D1, 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 that's successful. Or even college, 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 that's successful. And there's a great fit for everyone, but it's all about finding it and having the faith and patience to do it. So that would be really interesting if to talk to some of your former athletes. Maybe we'll get them on here.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do it.
That'd be amazing. So obviously for a lot of people that do listen to this, that I know college is the dream for a lot of young athletes. That's the goal. Maybe who knows, maybe even beyond. So what advice would you have for a young football player, right, in that peewee age, maybe late elementary or early middle school, as they start saying, this is fun, but I think I'm serious. I think I want to do a little bit more with this. What advice would you have for them in terms of just training and preparing themselves and really building the skill to be able to have those opportunities?
Yeah, I would, biggest thing I'm trying to get everybody that I can on board with is learn to love the game. Learn to love the game. Learn to love the processes of the game, not the outcomes. Our big thing that we've been focusing on this year has been the response, and ignoring the outcomes, learning from the outcomes, but ignoring the out. You can't control them. Right? And if you love football in high school because you love the celebration at the end of a victory on Friday night, you're not going to make it because you're
Sure.
not going to win every Friday night. And so learning to love the game and love the processes that go into it, I think, can be learned at a very young age. Not chasing the scholarship, not chasing, playing whatever level, but really just enjoying and loving the game. And then I would encourage everybody I can to play every sport that they can, and not just sports, but get involved in plays and dramas. I would love for my football guys to be in the winter play. I would. I think that would help them get out of their comfort zone and learn to be confident in a different way and have to work through challenges. Maybe football comes easy, basketball comes easy, but something that doesn't come easy.
Sure.
Learn what hard work looks like and what you know, other people struggle with in your sport that maybe comes more natural to you. So I would say get involved in as much as you can and challenge yourself. Just don't do things that you're good at. Challenge yourself with those things that bring out the best in you too.
Yeah, I say do hard things. I think it was like the recent NBA draft. Cooper Flagg went number one. It's his mom's quote said, you know, if you find that you're the best player in the gym, you need to find a different gym.
Yeah, exactly.
And
or get out of the gym altogether.
Right. So has anyone taken you up on this challenge of and I'm not laughing at it at all. I think it's wonderful. I'm just picturing your average high school football player also being in the school musical. Not always a crossover you see, but it would be awesome. Has anyone taken you up on it?
Yeah, we've got several kids here that are in our show choir and also on our football team that do both. But I'll give you a great example. Coach Sharp, Bill Sharp, you know, legendary six-time state champion at Jimtown, went to 8 state championships, won 6 of them. He played in the winter play to show his kids how important he thought it was. He played a minor role in one of their plays because he wanted his kids to do it. And
that's awesome.
When I had heard that story, I was like, man, that's so true. I mean, it's such an example of what we want our kids to learn about themselves. I guarantee you those kids that were in that play learned far more about themselves and working through difficult situations than anything on the football field would teach them.
Honestly, that makes for unbelievable school culture too, where, you know, there is sometimes that divide, not always. And maybe it's a little more stereotypical in like 80s and 90s movies that we grew up on, right? Where the jocks are over here, the drama kids are here, the band's over here. I think it's really cool when you start seeing some of that. It's just really good for school unity. When you're seeing like the football team out supporting the band and you're seeing your athletes showing up at plays and your theater kids showing up for basketball games. And it's just really good for school culture when we're all supporting each other that way. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Builds a positive environment. And like you said, that word community, you build that community. Yeah.
I think that's something your school is excellent at as well. I mean, Fairport has a really good reputation for just, you've got those kinds of kids. I mean, look, no school's perfect, but you know, Fairport has a real reputation for that. So 2 thumbs up. You guys are doing an awesome job.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So I love the idea of being multi-sport athletes too. We've had that conversation with a lot of coaches where we're seeing almost a backlash against that trend from 8-10 years ago of highly specialization at a very, very young age. We're finding some of the repetitive motions are leading to injuries. We're not developing as diverse of athletic skills. And I think football is an interesting one where it's not as easy of a sport to practice in totality by yourself, where, you know, tennis players go out and play tennis, basketball players can get in a gym and replicate a game, baseball players can get in a cage, or pitchers can throw. Football, it's not as easy to replicate that year round, nor are there AAU circuits and the same travel ball that you're seeing for like volleyball, baseball, softball. So what are some things that your, you know, high level football players can do to really be ready to take that college leap? Because it's not a 12-month a year sport. It just, your body couldn't do it.
Right. And I think what you just said there, you just made the greatest case for why, if somebody was on the fence with playing football, why they should play football. I mean, it's an experience unlike anything else. You can't replicate it. You can't go out and do it by yourself. You can't find, you know, people to play pickup games anymore when you're 30. You can go out and
shoot. We just get hurt. Yeah,
right. You know, those are hobby type sports. This is a once in a lifetime type of thing. But for our kids, a big part of it is the weight training in the off season, the mental training in the off season. And then I hate to be repetitive, but getting involved in the other sports and building that culture and community around the entire school building. I want my kids either playing basketball or wrestling. Take your pick. You know, if you're good at basketball and make the team, great, play. If not, then wrestling is going to be a great way to learn how to tackle.
Right.
The double leg takedown and all of the crossover that goes into it. And you're just maximizing your 4 years that you have at school. I did this past spring get to hear Marcus Freeman speak. And one of the kids got to ask him questions. One of the high schoolers asked him his view on multi-sport athletes. And I thought it was very revealing. He walked kind of the political line with his answers, but he mentioned, you know, if you're that rare 1%, you're that rare 1% that God has gifted you with height, weight, speed, whatever it is for your sport, then maybe focusing on that sport is in your best interest. If you're like the 99% of everybody else, you know, why wouldn't you want to experience everything that you can?
Sure.
Why wouldn't you want to challenge yourself to grow? That's going to be how you catch that 1%. You don't have maybe necessarily what they have that God has blessed them with height and speed. You got to make up for it with your competitiveness or your learning to adapt. And I think you learned that by getting out of your comfort zone. I thought it was a really good response by it.
Yeah, I love that too. I think I've even started to have some of those conversations. My daughters are still very young, but they're already seeing some of it at the late elementary and middle school level where there is a lot of pressure, not specifically on them, for anyone listening. No one's pressuring my children at our school, but there is a lot of maybe perceived pressure of if I don't play this travel sport after this season ends, then I'm going to be behind these girls and not make the team. And then all of a sudden at a school your size or our size, you know, like a typical 3A school, let's face it, like the same 8, 10, 12 kids are wanted by every coach, right? They're good at a lot of other things. And they are, and I think our stance has always been, look, come your sophomore year, junior year, we'll have a pretty good idea. If you're like, look, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to be, I'm blessed with this opportunity, God has put me in this spot, and I want to do this beyond high school, you know, maybe we buckle down. But in late elementary, especially middle school, man, just play everything. We don't know. Puberty's the great equalizer. Like just play it all, man.
And I might take this for a whole tangent, but like that's, I honestly think what's ruining the sports dynamic in general and experience for the kids is like this constant, like we've got to be doing something. We've got to be keeping up with the Joneses. We're falling behind. And like, I don't know how we get out of that cycle. I don't know who comes up with the answer and the response.
Oh, I don't have it either.
It's like, I don't think the cycle is going to end well. I think we'll end up pushing far more kids away from wanting to do these things in the future than we already are. I mean, by making it a year-round thing with things like video games and all these other wonderful things that kids can do today, they're going to be like, well, I'm going to go do that.
You know? No, they do. They burn out a little bit. And like you try to let them guide you. Like my younger one loves it, wants to play. Great. We've been a little more patient, but it is at a younger and younger age. And I think that's one of the things we talk a lot about on here too, where it becomes incumbent on coaches like yourself, people who coach youth sports at a younger level, and parents to just make sure we're keeping that perspective. Because I've seen it creep in even in like 10U, 11U AAU games where it's almost like parents think their kid's being scouted. I'm like, they're not.
Nope.
Like we're years away from that. Like it's like just have some fun,
and,
man. It's supposed to be fun.
Even if they were, enjoy the journey. You're gonna get to the end of it and be like, wait a minute, I didn't, it's over, you know. Like enjoy the process. Well, enjoy each stage of life and learn to love that part of it.
Oh, I'm gonna be a wreck. This is my last year coaching my oldest daughter before I pass her off to high school varsity ranks. And my wife already knows I'll probably cry like the last 3 or 4 games. it's such a, it feels long while you're in it, but it is such a beautiful short window. And I mean, obviously you see that all the time in high school, right? You get these kids for, if they're very, very good players, you might get to coach them for 4 years at the varsity level. Most of these kids you're coaching 2 or 3 years. And then hopefully, you know, you put them in a position to go be amazing at life, not just football. So I guess kind of as we kind of wind down here, so what are some advice you would have for coaches or some things that you've kind of taken from your 12, 13, 14 years of coaching to really make sure your players, when they walk out of the locker room for the last time as seniors, that they're walking into something far greater than what we accomplished on a football field?
Yeah, good question. I don't know if I have the perfect answer to that or not, but I would just challenge coaches to think of their why. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? And I think you'll find pretty quickly whether you're chasing the product or the process. You know, are you chasing the wins? Are you chasing the thrill of the wins? Or are you chasing the long-term goals, the processes that you're trying to establish for the kids to carry on well beyond, like you just said, the 4 years, maybe if you're lucky that you get with them and those life skills that they can go on and be great husbands and great fathers and great teammates in the business world or whatever it is that they're doing. Like the greatest joy in coaching to me is getting to see a kid down the line and they want to talk about all the great things that they're doing. And here's my wife and here's our family that we're growing. And they want to come back and help coach and do those things like that. That's far greater than any victory on the field in my book. And remembering your why during the difficult times too, because there's no doubt in high school sports, there's a greater pressure to win than ever before. You know, I think you have to kind of settle in your heart with why you're doing what you're doing and believing that God has called you to a higher standard beyond just the wins on the battlefield and all of that that you're doing. But just challenge yourself with your why daily and remind yourself of what it is that you do and why you do it.
Yeah, I love it. I would agree with you that the pressure is more, and some of it is so cool. I remember moving to Indiana, and games are on the radio. Our kids are signing autographs for little kids afterwards. There's parades. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, what a fun, awesome time. But with that also comes almost collegiate like pressure on kids that are sometimes 14, 15, 16 years old. It is a lot. And it's easy for us as adults to be like, ah, it's just a game. It's not. It's not just a game for the kids. It's a huge deal. So it is a lot for them to manage.
And they're learning all the life skills that they're going to need to be successful in the future. I mean, there's so many programs out there that put emphasis on the winning over the culture and climate of the building. And like in the ultimate run, I think you got to ask yourself, is that what you want? Is that what, are you really setting Johnny up for success 10 years from now by winning this game, you know, at all costs, you know, at all sacrifices? And that's
Sure.
difficult to do, but I think leading to your why is most important.
Yeah, so I'll give you one last one. I've noticed, and I'm having this conversation with folks too, that I feel like that faith is really on the upswing in sports. You're seeing more and more athletes boldly professing their faith. And I don't know that any sport more exemplifies that trend than football. You see it with the Ohio State team out ministering on campus. You see almost every post-game press conference, people boldly proclaiming their faith. My little nephew's 12-year-old quarterback down in Alabama has got his Bible verses on his eye black, right? I mean, you just see a lot of that bold. So your team has made no secret about it. Your guys pray together out on the field. There seems to be a very strong Christian fellowship there. So how does that faith that your kids have really come into play and kind of solidify that team dynamic and really give them some strength and courage?
As you know, being in a public school, you have to walk that line, you know,
Sure.
with it, but it's amazing. It gets a whole lot easier when you have kids that own that leadership position of that. We have a great kid in Bryce Geiger that boldly proclaims that he is here to win people to Jesus and not afraid to say that and has said that to his teammates. And he came in and my first year, he's like, "Hey, do you mind if we pray after games?" And I was like, "Well, why just games? Jesus not care about practice? God not care about practice?" And so he's like, "Yeah, let's do it." And so ever since he and it's been really cool to see other teammates that are like, "Hey, I'll pray today," and they'll pray and lead each other. And it's not, I don't require anybody to stick around and do it, but
Sure,
they
of
all stick
course.
around and do it. And I think it's kind of that unity that kids like Bryce and others that have establish something that I hope carries on long after Bryce is gone. As he graduates this year, I hope there's an underclassman that sees the value in that and wants to carry that on. And we talk quite a bit how our actions need to follow our words, you know? So if I got a Bible verse under my eye, yet I play like this and my actions are this, you know, I don't know if I'm really doing justice to that Bible verse under my eyes and making sure our actions follow our words. Through the good and the bad. It's easy to be that way after a big victory, a 1-point win at CMA. It's easy to, you know, have that joy. But what about when you get beat and Les Noble beat you up, like what happened the other week to us? Like, are your actions still going to follow that? And I think it's been a great tool to use to teach the kids and to show them practically how those things played out.
Well, I love it. Well, Coach, I know you got to get to practice, but I just wanted to say thank you for being here. And you guys are setting an incredible example. I can assure you that younger players are watching. I've seen it coaching at the elementary and middle school level. My kids see what the high school kids do, and they see them praying on the floor. And my middle schoolers say, "Coach, we want to pray on the floor." And some of it's their faith, and a lot of it is they look up to these older kids. So keep doing what you are doing. You guys are setting an amazing example for the school and for your community. And we will absolutely be praying for you guys on the field and off this year. And just thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Keep doing what you're doing. This sounds like an amazing plan that you have in place, and I hope to see the fruits of it down the line for you. And
Thank
anytime
you.
I can be a part of it, let me know.
Thank you. All right. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful season.
Thanks for tuning in to the Plan Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit planfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.